Hello, this is Helpfully Yours, a podcast devoted to sharing and discussing stories of helping. I'm your host, Dr. Holly Howitt. Hi, thanks for joining us on the Helpfully Yours podcast. I am so excited to introduce you all to one of my two best friends, Lynley Jones. Lynley is such a positive force in the world. She is deeply committed to her Christian faith and currently is the Christian Studies teacher at the Ascension Episcopal School's lower campus. Lynley is also a certified etiquette specialist who had a recurring segment on our local TV station, KADN. Lynley's professional background extends to city planning, and she was an essential aide to Lake Charles Mayor Willie Mount. Lynley also serves on Beacon's Board of Directors as our secretary and treasurer. Lynley's married to Rex Jones, and she has two children and one grandchild. Let's get to our interview with Lynley. Hi, Lynley. I am so excited that you are here for this episode of Helpfully Yours.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I love being here.
I know. And you know, we love to talk. So this, I'm really looking forward to the questions, because I know we talk about helping sometimes naturally, but I'm really curious about the stories that you selected to share with us. So let's get right in and tell me about a time that you helped someone.
And this example I'm going to give you is one I use every time I have to speak to groups or tell people something. It is like the best story. And it, when I worked for Willie Mount, the mayor of Lake Charles, I was a project specialist. So I did whatever I needed to do to help her with her calendar. And I went to Delta School of Business and did mock interviews for the graduates. So I would come in, I had, you know, my suit on, I carried my briefcase. And it was July in Lake Charles, and it was so hot. And so when I walked in the door, there was this beautiful young lady, and she said, "Wow, you look so hot." No, not in a good way. I mean, like in a sweaty way. And I was like, "I certainly am." And she said, "May I get you something to drink?" And I was like, "I would love a Diet Coke," because you know me, Holly, I'll have like eight a day. And so she left to get the Diet Coke, and I called Willie, the mayor, and said, "Hey, Willie, I don't know if this girl is a serial killer or has a record, but we've got to hire her at the mayor's office. We were looking for a frontline receptionist, somebody who could handle, you know, not only like governors and senators, but also the off the street people, just anybody." And so Willie called her in and interviewed her and gave her the job. And really had nothing to do with me other than recognizing something in her character. And so what was funny, about 3 months later, after we got her in, she was doing a great job. The Beauregard Hospital, I guess it's Beauregard Memorial Hospital, the CEO came down to meet with the mayor, and he stole her from us.
What?
And so she went to be his administrative assistant at the hospital, which is the private sector, if you know what I'm saying, a lot more money. And so just a few months ago, I was up in DeRidder doing a etiquette class for Beauregard Electric, and she was on the chamber or worked on committees at the chamber in Beauregard Electric. So I had met someone who knew her. That is how small the world is and how far she could take herself. And all she really needed was somebody to notice like what was special about her. And yeah, it's amazing. I love that story because I didn't know anything about her other than how she behaved toward others.
Mm-hmm. And so was it like an immediate thing? Like when you first saw her, or was it?
Well, I mean, you know, she had charisma and she had like presence, but when someone, that's just not normal. Like people don't notice other people, and they don't notice when other people might, you know, need something tangible, like a drink of water, you really, because you're so busy doing what you need to do. Or in her case, she could have been busy moving people to rooms to get interviewed or whatever. And so when she looked at me and said, "You look hot, can I get you something to drink?" I was like, wow, because you can train anybody to do any job, maybe not brain surgery, you know what I mean? But that's incredible in people. And I think that's just, obviously it's taken her far.
Yeah.
Like in her own career.
And so I'm also thinking like, okay, so you open the door for her, by contacting Mayor Mount and just saying, hey, you need to interview her. But she was also, I mean, this also was kind of fulfilling a need that you all had in the mayor's office, right? I
Right.
mean,
Because,
you needed funding.
somebody, and especially on the, since the topic is helping people, that is really having empathy and compassion. That is something that has to be kind of innate. I mean, you can make yourself do it, but for her, it was just natural. You could tell. And I'm not going to say it's Southern hospitality because, from Mississippi, Louisiana is kind of iffy when it comes to the Deep South. But yeah, it was definitely hospitality.
And so what was her role there? Like when you first met her, what was she doing? What was her role?
She was the greeter. She was a senior graduating. So she was one of the people who would eventually be interviewed. So I don't know if she was just on her way through and saw me. Because you know how when you get to a place, you're not really sure where to go? And there weren't always signs. But yeah, it was so hot. Like it was like July in a suit.
That's pretty amazing that you just kind of like launched her on her career. I
Well,
mean,
I can't take credit for it because it really was her. But we know in the when you're in the politics, as you know, because even nonprofits have a degree of that, really it's interacting with people that makes the difference in all things. It's how you choose doctors or attorneys, it's how you choose friends. And so I just, yeah, I thought, and we look, it really was for us. It was like, I know it benefited Krishan, but really it was about what we needed at City Hall. So,
yeah, but
I mean, it's
anyway,
not all
yes.
altruistic.
But I also think, you opened the door. I mean, you could have have easily just gone on and done your little mock interviews for the day and been like, "Oh, I'm so thankful for this lady that gave me a Diet Coke." And that could have been the end of it, but instead you're like, "Oh, I want to open the door for this lady. I think, we could use her." And, obviously you set her or eased her onto, a path that has served her and her community well, I would say, going from working, from the mayor's office to a hospital to,
Yeah, the chamber. It was great to hear that she's still like doing well. I mean, it was great. And I do think that's why I love Beacon is because, community connections. And that's kind of a thing I like to do as well is connect either it's information or directions or,
Yes.
whatever. I like it. And so it was just kind of natural.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, let's switch topics and tell me about a time when someone helped you.
So, because we've talked before, my big dream was to be the city planner for Dallas, the best city in the world. And I dreamed of that. And so, graduating from Southern Mississippi as a city planner, my internship, paid internship, when I graduated was with Jackson County, in Mississippi's Board of Supervisors. It's kind of like a police jury, but it's just what they call it, different. And, the county supervisor was my boss, and he had a secretary, and I was probably 21, and she was like 50, which I thought was so old at the time.
I know.
And she, one day I came to work, and I was probably in slacks and a casual shirt, and she said, Lindley, I'm going to give you some advice. She said, you do great work, and she complimented me on a lot of things. And she said, but what I think would help is if you came to work every day dressed so that the supervisor could take you with them to meetings. So, meaning come prepared so that no matter what happens, you can do it. You can go. And so she said, not only like the shoes you wear or the clothes I have on, but to always be ready, like caught up in your work and all that, so that you could go out from there. And so yeah, it was a big help. And I think about that all the time when I want to be lazy, when I'm especially like teaching school or going to chapel, or I think, oh, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to iron that shirt. And then I think about her, what, 30 years, 40 years later, when she said, okay, be dressed because you never know who's going to invite you to go along. And
And so,
so
did something happen where, like, one time, like, you got to act on that advice? Like,
I
you.
don't know if he was going, I forget, because good Lord, that was so long ago, 1987. But she, I don't know if I wasn't dressed and he couldn't take me to a meeting that day, or she had noticed, I don't know what had happened for her to say it, because I wasn't ever a slob. You know, back in the 80s, we
No.
curled our hair and did all that. And but I think she was the kind of person that would always give me the insights for professional success. She helped me professionally, because I knew how to plan cities and do subdivision regulations and, you know, all those things, write grants. But that polishing, she was always willing to help me in such a kind way, polish me for executive level work. Because I started in executive, I just started at the top. And as a city planner with him in Jackson County, I wrote the Mississippi's federal emergency plan was my other one. And so part of there. So does that make sense?
Yes.
I
No,
just,
yeah, I'm
it
kind of
wasn't
thinking
like
like.
you, I didn't start out as an, you know, we started in the big things right away, and like law cases and subdivision regulations. And I just think that was a, you, they don't really teach you that in college.
No, was that like your first professional job out of
Yes.
college?
Yes. We didn't have computers or anything back then. Just the typewriter with the little word processor. It was my, I just graduated, and that summer I worked in Jackson County, which is in Pascagoula, Mississippi. And I worked for that, the Board of Supervisors, and then went to the state of Mississippi and worked in Jackson as an intern for the feeder. They were just now requiring federal emergency management plans. That's how old I am.
Oh, wow.
That those are
Wow.
the days. But you know, like even today, they might teach some forms of dining etiquette or interview etiquette, but having someone who's willing to like give you tips that you might take the wrong way even, or might, but you know, she was so honest in her desire to help me be a better professional. And I was just starting out, like 21, you know. And
Yeah.
she was an old veteran, had worked around. And back then I was the only female with like 18 men. And so I guess as a fellow female, she was really wanted to give me a leg up when it came to being even.
Right, because I can see, now, I mean, we look at like, 2023, and yes, there's still some, pay inequalities, and the glass ceiling, is still present. But I mean, I think back in the 80s, I mean, things were
Oh
just
yeah.
like so different. I mean, I can, like the expectations of what women would wear, how they would act.
Yes.
It was a very different back then. I think that we forget how times have changed, especially for women.
And I have to get them for you, but there we even had books like How to Swim with the Sharks. The book was written for women, like, you know, wear gray, don't put pictures of your children on the desk because they'll think that you value your family over your job, and all these crazy things that we believed to be or were true back then. You had to wear, oh, it was, yeah. But I graduated with like a 3 point whatever in planning, almost a 4.0 in planning, but didn't really have a lot of business sense. Like, yeah. Like carrying a briefcase instead of just having a backpack. She, God bless her. And her name was Mrs. Smith. I don't even know her first name, because back then you never really called an elder person by their first name. Mrs. Smith. I'll never
Mrs.
forget
Smith.
her ever.
Oh, that's so great. I love how like both of your stories are actually about people helping other people at the beginning of their careers. I don't know if you did that on purpose or not,
Oh no, it's just how it when I, yeah.
yeah, but so I think that I had a similar experience. I had my own Mrs. Smith. Her name was Linda Sewell, and she helped me out of summer jobs at a civil engineering firm, and she was the office manager. And so she just took me, and we did everything together. She taught me how to do payroll. This is back in the 80s, so by hand. And one time we had to go buy a new van for the company. I mean, it was a wild whatever we would do, but she, was always really professional. And I guess because we're in Texas, so I mean, I always called her Miss Linda.
Yeah, right.
But she's still alive, and we still exchange Christmas cards. And yeah,
Oh.
she, I think like you're Mrs. Smith, she taught me a lot about how to be in a workplace.
Right, little things. Like, when else would you be able to buy a car? It'd be, heaven forbid, the first time you had to do that, you were in charge.
Right, exactly. So,
and I think it wasn't a competitive among women at the time. We were all trying to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I agree. But I think, you know, I think I feel fortunate that I, you know, had someone like her at the beginning, really even before the beginning of my career. And, you know, you had someone. And so then I think I always try to, like, you know, when people are starting out, to kind of try to help them, because I do want to pay it forward. And it seems like either consciously or unconsciously, you have done that as well.
And I've been fortunate because Willie Mount was also my junior league sponsor. And I remember when she said, I'm going to put you up for the junior league. She said, this is what I need you to do. You need a new outfit for every meeting. You need to sit up at the front on the right. So I think either I just come across as somebody who needs a lot of help, but I've been surrounded by people, role models, who really invested in me.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason, like they didn't get anything out of it. And so, I mean, I do think that is something I'm also willing to do and trying to do for other people.
I think part of it is like just being open and being receptive. I think a lot of people give advice or wisdom. I think people do that all the time. It's just, are you open to receiving that or not? And you're someone that's very open to receiving feedback, I think.
But it is scary because you never know how they're going to take it. So you also have to really think about how you're going to give it. But yes, just it is. Sometimes it can hurt. I remember when I asked somebody their honest opinion about assembly for Sunday school, and she said, it's so boring.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then on, we could rebuild. I think you were there when that happened.
I don't know if I was there. I always thought it was like, I'd never seen anything like it. And I don't think I will ever see anything like what you built at Asbury, and you know, we're able to help so many people with that. So I just, you know, we have a few minutes left, and so, you know, just kind of, what is your what are some of your thoughts about why we should help others, or, you know, does anything, do you have any pearls of wisdom you want to
It is hard for me. It's not natural. I've had to, like, I guess hospitality and etiquette come naturally to me because I've worked for both of those, but I'm not a compassionate or empathetic person by nature. I'm much more driven. I don't know. And so for me, I really have to make myself pay attention. So when I see someone who's homeless on the street, I'm more likely to start a program or come up with the administrative tasks that would take, versus to just hand them something or cook them dinner. So I really struggle with putting, like, hands-on helping people.
Mm-hmm. But I think we all have different skills. And so we do need that person that's going to start that program. You know, we do need the people that are going to give them a sandwich that day, but we also need people that are going to, you know, start the program that's going to feed them, you know, and get them, you know, housed and whatever. But I also feel like you are one who is not, at least with me, you're not shy about, like, sharing your true opinion. And that, I feel that is helpful. I mean, not everybody feels that way, because like you just said, like, until someone told you that assembly wasn't working, you couldn't fix it. If you can't see the problem and nobody ever points it out to you, you're not going to ever fix it.
Right. But it is hard to tell who can take that kind of help.
Yeah, I know.
So, and if it comes from a good place, I think, you know, but I know that I think what's more obvious when people refuse to help others, or they say disparaging things to people or about people who need help. Mm-hmm. That is something I hope I never do. But to be more aware of what's going on and where to help, I'll have to work on that, Holly. I have to really make myself pay attention.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think, you know, in all the time that I've known you, I think that you've done that, whether you realize it or not. So, I really appreciate you supporting me and supporting this podcast by coming on, to, share your stories today. And I really just appreciate our friendship.
Yeah, and I appreciate you bringing those to mind because I loved reliving those early days. Thank you.
This has been an Atomic K production. Recording was done in Lafayette, Louisiana by Holly Howitt with editing and technical assistance from Spencer Howitt. Check out our website at helpfully-yours.alitu.com to listen to all episodes and as well as show notes. To make sure you don't miss an episode, make sure to subscribe to the Helpfully Yours podcast. Music is from Scenic World's Dissolving Art album. The Helpfully Yours podcast supports the mission of Beacon Community Connections. Learn more at beaconconnections.org.